Okay, here we are in lesson number three in All Authority. Lesson number three in All Authority, it's a study of the Holy Scriptures themselves to see where all authority exists. And I'm telling you right now, in case I die today, praise the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The King James Bible is the Word of God for English-speaking people. When I speak of the King James Bible, I'm talking about the pure Cambridge edition that I hold in my hands. I'm looking at it. Okay, remember, thy word is truth, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Scriptures is defined as the written Word of God, and this is a Genesis through Revelation study regarding every verse that has to do with the Scriptures. It will be the study of inspiration, preservation, translation, and then, of course, at the end, it will be the identification of the right Bible in English. Because believe you me, Satan is in the Bible business. We saw in the lifetime of the Apostle Paul how that many were corrupting the Word of God in his day, 2 Corinthians says, and yet Peter calls it incorruptible, the real Word of God. So how do you corrupt something that is incorruptible? Real simple. You put a counterfeit there and let man decide. The issue is faith. Remember, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You have got to believe the verses in the Scriptures. You know, the way this world is going, by the way, as you're listening, get Deuteronomy chapter 27. That's where we left off. Deuteronomy chapter 27, as we're gathering all the evidence regarding the Scriptures, and I'm telling you, the way this world is going, especially right here in the United States of America, it won't be long where you will have wished you were a believer established in the faith. Because trust me when I tell you, if you're finding comfort in the things of this world, you're doomed right there. So let's continue on in lesson number three in All Authority. Deuteronomy chapter 27, look at verse 1. Watch this closely. And Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones, and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law. There we see again that God is interested in the transmission of all his words. Going on, when thou art passed over, that thou mayest go in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, a land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord thy God, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. Therefore it shall be, when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. Now watch verse 8 closely. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law. What does those two words say? Very plainly. Do you know why I absolutely loathe and hate study Bibles? The center column reference Bibles, first and foremost, they're wrong 99% of the time. Every time they try to give you some idea of what's going on, they're wrong. They're written by men who should have just gone and done something else in their lives, like jump off a bridge. Okay, and why do I say that? Because the Apostle Paul wishes that people who told lies and preached the wrong gospel according to Galatians were cut off. That trouble you. Okay? So, the Bible that I read is a plain text Bible. It has no notes of man, no center column reference, no notes even at the top of the page. It's just the Bible. If it were up to me, I would take out the verse and chapter references. Because I don't care about the numbers. I understand it is a valuable tool for study. But the words of God are the issue with me. That's it. Nothing else. I don't need no man in there inserting in here things in the columns and all these little paragraphs and all cluttering up the Bible so that you look at it like it's this big hard book to understand. It is not. Write them. God wants his words written very plainly. So get yourself a text Bible. Okay? A text Bible. Forget those study Bibles. They're junk. Verse 26, same chapter. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. God is interested in all his words. Deuteronomy chapter 28, look at verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. You better not swerve off of any of the words. Don't steer away from one word of this book. You see that? The issue with God is his words. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Okay? I'm telling you, that phrase I told you earlier in a lesson, it repeats itself over and over again, all the words of this law. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verse 9. Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verse 9. And Moses wrote this law, and delivered it unto the priest, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it, all the words of the Lord. Same chapter, look at verse 19. Same chapter, look at verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. And look at verse 22. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it the children of Israel. Extremely important. This is the witness. He wrote this song. Look at verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, Take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Notice carefully now the people that God used to preserve his words in the Old Testament. It would be the Jewish nation, specifically the tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood. They were charged with the preservation of God's book. It was up to them. All right. Moving on, Deuteronomy 32, let's gather some more doctrinal evidence regarding this great book in our hands. Deuteronomy chapter 32, look at verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Now watch carefully. He, that is God Almighty, is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now let me tell you something. All you preachers and teachers out there, walking around with a Bible in your hand. You claim that you believe the Bible is perfect, but yet you don't believe that about the book you hold in your hand. You say the Bible is perfect in its original writings. I read your doctrinal statements. I read what you say. You're wrong. Because let me tell you something in verse 4. See, God is the rock, and His work is perfect. So you know what all of you listening have got to come to grips with? Either this Bible is the work of God, or it is not. If it is the work of God, then it is perfect. I believe that verse. You see, Deuteronomy 32:4. I believe that the Bible is the work of God, and I believe when God does a work, when He inspires words, preserves them, He can translate them into my language with no problem, and I can have them. That's a faith issue. I believe it. If you're stupid enough to not believe that, you just need to go do something else, because you're never going to get anything. You're going to just flounder your whole life and be, you're just never going to get it. You got it? I hope so. Probably not, because you can't get it. That book is perfect. Okay? I don't care if you believe it. The book is. You ask yourself, is this Bible the work of God? If it is, then it's perfect. That's the attribute God is associated with it. Unless you want to call that verse a lie. Who are you to even think such a thing? Same chapter, look at verse 44. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people, he and Hoshea, the son of Nun. Now, bear with me here. Now, watch this. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. All these words. You know, if this is redundant to you, there's something wrong with you. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Do you get that? All the words of God shouldn't be vain to you either. The Lord Jesus Christ said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 47, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. And through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. If it was indeed the life for the nation of Israel in Old Testament time past times, let me tell you what, even more so it is for you today. Deuteronomy chapter 33, look at verse 1. Again, let's gather some more evidence. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So the Lord wrote the Ten Commandments with his right hand. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. The words of God are the issue with God. Okay? Again, remember what we're doing in this study. It's a very, very simple study. It's a topical study. We're gathering evidence of God's book. Okay? What God says about his book. Go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We'll find even more evidence. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Now Moses is dead. Watch what God tells to Joshua. Verse 1 of chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Notice verse 8. When you observe to do according to all that is written in the book of God, then you'll prosper, then you'll have good success. Okay? And I'm not talking in the eyes of the world how they define it. I'm talking in the eyes of God. Joshua chapter 8. Let's look at verse 30. Joshua chapter 8, verse 30. We're gathering more evidence regarding the scriptures themselves. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron. And they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Now, wait a minute. Again, more evidence regarding preservation. How does God preserve his word? He does so in copy form. Originals are not the issue with God. God did not decide to just transmit his word in an original fashion and leave it at that and just move forward. He writes a copy. So copies are just as authoritative. Verse 33. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side the ark, and on that side before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word. Did you get verse 35? Or are you drifting off thinking of something else? Pay attention. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. He didn't miss a word. Today, you can't even get preachers to read any words. Hardly at all. They just yak and tell you stories. The word of God meant something to Joshua. Now, I want to show you something here in Joshua chapter 9. A very interesting chapter. Joshua, a faithful man, leading Israel at the time. Watch how important. It doesn't matter who you are, if you do not seek counsel at what God says, watch what can happen to you. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and in all the coasts of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors. Watch these little sneaks. And took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up. You see how they're disguising themselves as if they're these ambassadors, which are messengers out on a long journey. Verse 5. And old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. Boy, to all intents and purposes, to the eye, they appeared to be out there a long time. They're trying to trick Joshua. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, verse 6, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? So they were suspicious. Verse 8, and they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him, and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon king of Heshbon, and to Og king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread. And so he's trying to convince them. And he's even showing them with his eyes all these things. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. And behold, they be rent. And these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. Listen, I don't care what you see. Verse 14, and the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. There's the trouble here. I don't care what you see. Okay? I don't care what you see. You have got to understand, no matter what your eyes tell you, no matter what your eyes tell your brain, you have to go by the word of God. Now, had they taken counsel at the mouth of the Lord, God would have told them, they are your neighbors, they are your enemies, and I told you to destroy them. But that is not what happened. They tricked them. They beguiled them, verse 22 says. Okay? So the point here in the passage is, you need to take counsel at the mouth of the Lord, no matter what you see. Let me show you another incident about that. It's a little different, but sort of the same thing. Go with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, watch this. Verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Now, it's commonly referred to as the Mount of Transfiguration. The Lord Jesus Christ is transfigured before Peter, James, and John. And they see with their eyes how absolutely wonderful, I mean, truly, it must have been. I mean, seriously, boy, I would have loved to have seen that. Well, we'll see him the same way. But I want to show you something. When, even though Peter saw this, okay, go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter's going to recount many years later this event. And it was all true. I mean, it happened. No doubt. 3 eyewitnesses to it, Peter, James, and John. But watch when he talks about it in 2 Peter chapter 1. And watch what he says that he has as something even better than that experience. 2 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Peter said, we are eyewitnesses of this when he was transfigured on this mountain. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we are with him in the holy mount. Now Peter says, boy, we are eyewitnesses. We heard this voice. We heard the voice of God. But watch what Peter now says. Even though we saw this good thing with our eyes, and this is a good thing, this was no trick, like those men tricked Joshua back there, This was something good. But Peter says, we got something even more sure than our experience. Look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Peter says the Bible is more sure than what we even saw. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Peter says we got something more sure than even when we saw the Lord Jesus Christ transfigured before our eyes and heard his Father from heaven speak. And what they had was more sure was the Bible itself. Go with me now to Joshua chapter 13. Again, let's gather some more evidence. Are you starting to see? Are you starting to like see what I see here in this great book of what God says about his book? Joshua chapter 13. Now watch a great verse here. Let's see why I put this verse in here. Joshua chapter 13, look at verse 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Now, why is that verse in this study on the Word of God? Because you know why it's in there? That is such a simple demonstration of God says exactly what he means and means exactly what he says, and what he means and what he says is the exact conformity to the facts. The facts were Joshua was old and stricken in years. Therefore God said, thou art old and stricken in years. He didn't say, hey Joshua, as you're approaching your retirement, or hey Joshua, as you start to age, or hey Joshua, as you start to get up there in years, or at Joshua, as you approach your golden years. Let me tell you what, every time man says something, it's part of Satan's step four of watering down what God said. Okay? Listen, today people call themselves gay. No, they're not. They're sodomites. Today people call themselves an alternative lifestyle. No, they're not. They are vile. Okay? So I could go on with so many illustrations, but I want you to understand, God says it like it is, no more, no less. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. That's what Christ Jesus, our great Lord, is talking about when he says, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. You better say what you mean and mean what you say. So when you're reading the scriptures, you can be rest assured that God knows exactly how to say what he means and mean what it means what he says. Go with me to Joshua chapter 21. Joshua chapter 21. And I'm here to tell you, one of the first things you hear, if you're sitting there listening to some guy sitting there trying to direct your soul in the things of eternity, and he tells you, you see that verse? What it really means is this. The verse doesn't mean what it says. What it really means is this. As if he is the authority and that God really didn't say it right. You need to run as far as you can as if that was the worst poison on earth you were being exposed to, because it is, because it's affecting your soul. Joshua 21, look at verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Wow. What a great Lord. Let me tell you something. Not one word in here is going to fail. Not one. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Joshua chapter 23, look at verse 6. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. To the left. It takes courage to keep and do what God says. Verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua chapter 24, look at verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. That's how we got the book. How do we get the book of Joshua? He wrote it down. It's not hard. Not hard. This is not a hard study. This is an issue of faith. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 2. As we're moving forward, again, it's going to be a Genesis through Revelation study. 1 Samuel chapter 2, let's go there. Oh, such an amazing book. Such an amazing book of my father. 1 Samuel 2, look at verse 3. Watch what Hannah says. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God, here's an attribute of our wonderful God Almighty's personality. Just one of the infinite attributes he possesses. He is a God of knowledge. That means if you don't know some things, too bad. You're out of the loop here. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, he says. God is a God of knowledge. And the reason you don't know things is because you don't read the Bible. You spend more time doing everything else in this stupid world, but doing the one thing you should have. One thing is needful, the Lord Jesus Christ told Martha, and that's to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and hear his words. Okay? I kid you not. People say, I ain't got time to read the Bible. They got to sit there right there and watch 2-3 hours of TV a day. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. Watch this. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. Why? There was no open vision. The Bible up to this point is nowhere near complete, but what Bible they had was precious in those days. Is it precious to you? Look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. There is a direct correlation and relationship between knowing the Lord and knowing his word. If you don't know the word of the Lord, you will not know the Lord. People today, I sit here flabbergasted when I listen to these so-called preachers and teachers teaching. You know, I'm telling you, they're destroying their listeners. And the listeners, because they're so ignorant, don't even know they're being destroyed. I'm really angry at the teachers and preachers so-called out there who so-called teach the scriptures. Okay? I feel great compassion towards the flock that they have. Because the flock, they have no clue that they're being fed trash. They just are listening to stories and garbage. They don't know the Lord because they don't know. They have they preach another Jesus. They preach a God that is not the God of Holy Scriptures. I don't know where they come up with this garbage, except their own brain and the commentaries of men. 1 Samuel 3, look at verse 19. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. That should be your attitude. Not one word of God would you ever let fall to the ground. You know what's sad? I show people that there's verses missing in their corrupt, satanic, counterfeit, Roman Catholic, dung-filled Bibles that they have. And it doesn't even bother them. It doesn't even bother them. Verse 20. And all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now watch this. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. How? By the word of the Lord. God reveals himself today the same way, by his word. The problem is, folks don't know his word. 1 Samuel chapter 10. But hopefully we'll change that here. Listen, I'm telling you, I didn't grow up, when I was growing up, I didn't want to be a Bible teacher. That's for sure. I didn't even know the Bible. But after reading it as much as I have and still continue to read, I want to teach it. I have to teach it. Woe is unto me if I don't teach it. I just have great compassion to everybody who doesn't know. But you got to help me out here, okay? You got to read here. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 25. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. Look what Samuel did with this book. 1 Samuel chapter 12, look at verse 14. 1 Samuel 12, look at verse 14. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel. Listen, if you don't obey the voice of the Lord, you're in rebellion. There's no middle ground. But rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Okay? Now, I want to show you something here. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Okay? 1 Samuel chapter 15. All right, get 1 Samuel 15 and 1 Chronicles chapter 10, I believe. 1 Chronicles 10 and 1 Samuel 15. We're going to read the 1 Samuel 15 first. 1 Samuel 15, now watch this. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Boy, Saul, you know, Saul had some problems. But he also did some good things, but he had some problems. Verse 2, thus saith the Lord of hosts. But notice verse 1, you better hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Now that is what God said to do. Hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord, verse 1, and that's what he said to do. Got it? Utterly destroy everything. Verse 4. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Now watch this. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart. Get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. What are you doing, Saul? Why'd you take him alive? And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. You see that? Listen. So here you got Saul picking and choosing. Now, well, I know the Lord said to destroy everything, but look, let's just destroy the bad things. We'll keep the good things that look good of all his cattle and animals here. Verse 10. Oh, gosh. And Agag he kept alive. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Listen, when God gives you a commandment to do, you better do it exactly and to the full extent of what he tells you to do. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. How many times has something grieved you, causing you to cry all night, that had to do with someone not obeying the word of God? And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul. And Saul said unto him, watch how deceived you become when you go against the word of God. Watch this. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Can you believe this? I mean, he believed what he was saying to Samuel. And Samuel said, oh yeah, I mean, come on. You obey, you perform the commandment of the Lord? And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Oh yeah, if you had obeyed the commandment, I wouldn't be hearing any sheep or oxen. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Oh, so now he's blaming the people for doing it. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? He still ain't getting it. Watch this, verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Oh my gosh, he still ain't getting it. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Let me tell you what, you reject what God says in this book, God says his word is perfect and pure. You reject that, it is rebellion. It is stubbornness. It's like iniquity and idolatry. You got it? Verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Oh, really? Well, what was your first hint? I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I fear the people and obeyed their voice. Right there is why so many preachers fall. Because they fear their congregation and then they obey their voice. Here, listen. Let's get something straight right from the get-go. There is no human being on this earth that I give one portion of one cell of my body to even care one whit about their opinion or what they think or what they care about anything. I don't even care one whit about what I think. I don't even possess an opinion. I have jettisoned a long time ago. You know, you can't read this book over 100 times and sit there and have in your brain opinions. The Bible will clean them out. Or you can't read that much. I don't care about my own opinion. And all you preachers out there, so-called, and teachers out there, so-called, who sit there and care about the offending of the people in your congregation, you fear them and you obey their voice. You know why? Because you want the money to keep coming in. Let me tell you something right now. I don't have a lot of followers. Never have, never will. Because first of all, I guess they just don't like a lot of things I say. I don't care. I'm here to represent my Heavenly Father by allowing the life of His great Son, my King and Lord and Savior, to live through my flesh, manifesting His eternal purpose, and my mouth is going to say what my Father's pleased with. I don't care what you think. Fear the people and obey their voice. That's sickening. Verse 25, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also, the strength, capital S, of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Now watch this. Oh man, you gotta love Samuel. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Now you remember him? God said to destroy him, but Saul took him alive. And Agag came unto him delicately. Well, I would think here, huh? Being a prisoner of war here, knowing that Samuel's now showed up. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. Watch this. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces. He chopped him up with a machete or a sword before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel hewed Agag in pieces. He didn't stab him. He hewed him. He chopped him up in pieces. There's a man zealous for his God. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now look at that, huh? With that passage in mind, look at 1 Chronicles chapter 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. You know, when I read these verses and stuff, and I think of folks who are listening, I can honestly tell you, as God Almighty is my witness, I just so want you to be free from the shackles and tyranny of the opinions of men. You know, when Christ says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, it'll make you free. You got to know it first, okay? All right, 1 Chronicles chapter 10, look at verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and other things he did. And here's one. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. But notice the verse closely in verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord, comma, look at this, even against the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something about God Almighty. He and his word are perfect. Okay? Perfect. They go together. When you rebel against his words, you're rebelling against him. Period.